Christian Parenting.
This is Cynthia Yanoff, and you're listening to Pardon the Mess. Each week, we have honest discussions about the ups and downs of parenting and the lessons God is teaching us along the way. It's real, it's fun, and it's biblical. Life is messy. Don't walk the parenting road alone. Hey guys, welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm glad that you are spending a few minutes with me today. We're talking to Sadie Robertson, and Sadie's been on Pardon the Mess before. We got to interview her in Nashville a couple of years ago, live, super fun, and she is now married to Christian Huff, and so it's Sadie Robertson Huff, and she has a little baby, and she has an unbelievable way of speaking the gospel to everyone, but especially to young adults. And so this is a great interview if you have a teenage girl, or really any teenager, but that just happens to be in the car. This is the podcast to throw on, because she is so good and so relevant to our kids and to young adults. And so today, I love that we're talking about what it's like for her in motherhood, but then she goes on to talk about fear and sorting through fear and doing the things in your life that you can look back and say, only for God, only with God could that have happened. And so I'm so glad she's here. You're going to love this chat with Sadie Robertson Huff. Sadie Robertson, welcome to Pardon the Mess. How are you?
Thank you. I'm so good. Thanks for asking.
Okay, I said Sadie Robertson. I should say Sadie Robertson Huff. And it's just, as I told you before, you and I haven't talked, I don't think, since you were engaged and we were in person in Nashville. So I don't even get the last name right now. So welcome.
Hey, that's okay. I'll respond to both. Both work.
That is awesome. And so since we have talked, we've had a pandemic, you've had a marriage, you've had a baby, a lot's been going on. And so I'm just thrilled for all of it except the pandemic. And I want to know, how's motherhood? How's marriage? What's going on?
Yes. So life has definitely been crazy. Christian and I, of course, since we saw you got married, and then we ended up moving to Auburn because Christian was finishing up college. Yeah. And when we went on a spring break vacation, we literally didn't go back but to pack our bags, because that's when COVID hit. So we were actually in Haiti, and then COVID happened and like started coming to America, and everything went crazy while we were there. And we came back and schools were shut down, and we were like, whoa, this is insane. So yes, then we ended up moving to Louisiana, where my family lives, and we love it. Getting pregnant shortly after all that, and then having our sweet baby Honey. And so life has been a whirlwind, but it has been so much fun and so sweet. Thankful that we are well. We did get COVID, but we got past it, and we're thankful for that. I wrote 2 books during the pandemic. Thankful for that. And so yes, it was a wild journey, but we're grateful for where we're at and all that happened, because honestly, I don't know what the last years would have been like had we not been in a pandemic, but that was the circumstance that we've all been given. And I'm thankful to be on the other side of it in some sense and be able to say that, you know, we got through it and we got through it well.
Yeah, totally. And you just said you wrote 2 books during the pandemic. And I promise you, Sadie, like, I think now it's the great benefit I have of being a podcaster that everyone wrote these amazing books during it. And I get to talk to people about books and what they did. And I'm like, gosh, what was I doing? I swear, I don't know what I did. I have 3 kids and I had all these like awesome intentions. And like my youngest, I was like, oh, I'm going to like order all the stuff and teach him to read and do all the stuff. And I don't know what happened, Sadie. I feel like every time someone says they wrote 2 books, I'm like, where was I during that year?
Hey, you were being a mom and a podcaster and doing a great job at it. Everyone has to do what's in their hands to do.
That is exactly right. Okay. And so I love that your whole podcast, my daughter, I have a teenage daughter, you've met her when we, last time we talked, and she is a big fan of everything you do, which made me a big fan of what you do. I started reading and listening. She loves your podcast. And so I became an instant fan of it. And I love that the whole notion behind it is just like, what's the best advice you've been given? It's just such a great, easy concept, but it's so, telling of people and stories. And so it just made me want to ask you kind of that, like, what's, now that you're a mom, what's the best advice you've been given in parenting? And I know she's a little itty bitty baby, but is there anything that stands out so far?
Yeah, that's a great question. Parenting advice I've been given. Gosh, I feel like we have been given so much advice, you know, and yes, all of it is definitely needed. I think one piece of advice my mom gave me is just that, like, your schedule for Honey is going to look different than everybody else's. And I think that really helped and freed me, because I think a lot of moms, you know, read the book and and it's all the same book or whatever, and they all want to do the same schedule, but every mom is different and every baby is different and every mom has different jobs and responsibilities. And sometimes that schedule that is super trendy at the time doesn't really fit in your schedule and it's not what's best for you. And I think when you do that and you try to, you know, do the thing that's popular, do the thing that's trendy, it actually just like leaves you feeling like a lot of guilt and like feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you're not being the best mom you can be, when in reality, you're just not being that mom, you know?
Yeah,
like you're still being a good mom, you're just not being that mom. And I think because of me, like, my schedule is crazy and I have so many things going on, but of course honey's my first priority, but because honey's my priority and I have a crazy schedule, our schedule is going to be a little different than everybody else's, and that's okay. And so my mom just kind of freed me of putting an expectation on myself that wasn't actually mine to live up to, you know, that's not actually the definition of being a good mom. That's just a trendy version of motherhood right now.
Totally. And that's going to play out all the way through your parenting. Like I can even say it as having older kids and a little one that, yeah, there's always going to be something that's the thing that everybody's doing, or a certain way to feed them, or a certain way to do select sports or whatever it is. And I just love that you're speaking that, like, do what's right between you and your family and God. And and that makes the best version of your family. And I remember that book. I don't know what the book is now. It doesn't matter. But the book is whatever it is now that everybody's following. When I had my oldest, my first one, there was this whole thing about like you, like when they're little, itty, like 6 weeks, like you would make sure to get them on a schedule. You would feed them and they would nap and then you'd feed them and then you'd have a playtime before they're allowed to nap again. Okay. And so you have a baby and you know, like when you give them a bottle or whatever and they fall asleep, and that was a big no-no. You could not put them in the crib asleep. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, I called my husband at work one day. I'm like, I can't get her to play after her bottle. He's like, yeah, I think she's like 8 weeks old. I don't know that she like really knows how to play. So I just laugh thinking about that. I look back and that is no, throwing no shade on moms who are stressing through those things that seem big, because they are big in the moment, but
yeah,
it's a good word. It's a good word to just kind of do what works for your family. And so on that note, what's been hard? We have a lot of parents that listen from little babies all the way up. What's been hard with having honey? What's been kind of hard, but what's been like unexpected joy?
Yeah. Oh gosh. So many things. There are so many unexpected joys. I think one of the things Christian and I talk about is like, there are high highs and there are low lows, and we didn't expect the highs to be so high and the lows to feel so low. Like, you know, whenever you're not the mom and you hear a baby crying, like for me, it never bothers me when another baby's crying. I'm always just like, I get it. Do your thing. Like, it's fine. And so I didn't think it would really bother me whenever honey cried. And it's not that it bothers me, but it genuinely is so stressful and so sad whenever your baby is just crying and crying and crying, and you have no idea why, and you don't know how to stop it, and you can't figure out what to do to soothe them. Like, that is so hard. And so I think before I was a mom, I thought, oh, the baby just cries. But when you're the mom, it's like, how do I get my baby to stop crying?
Yeah.
So that has been hard. But then like the joys are like, you can literally feel like you're losing your mind for 3 hours, and then they smile and like start laughing and you're like, whatever, I don't even care. What? Yes. You were crying? Today's awesome. And so it's just high highs and some low lows, but sweet, sweet moments. I think one thing for just moms listening is just one thing that Christian and I really, I think grasp at the beginning is that we have to understand what grace looks like, grace for each other and grace for her. And also understand that she has grace for us. Like when we put the diaper on backwards or whenever, like we can't make her bottle fast enough or like whatever it is that like we have to figure it out as parents. Like she has so much grace for us and we have to have grace for her and grace for each other as we're all entering something new. I've never been a mom before. He's never been a dad. She's never even existed before. Like we're all figuring out this new life together. And I think it's taught us so much more about the grace and the love of God. I mean, all these like church sayings that I thought were really sweet and I thought were really, you know, a great concept have now really, I think, revealed, God's really revealed like the power behind them. And just even thinking about God as our father, as our parent, like to learn from even God and the way to parent honey is like the coolest thing ever.
That's such a good word. And again, that applies so much just all the way through the journey of parenting. And you know what I love, Sadie, about what you speak into is you speak into so well girls, and whether that's like high school versus college, young adult girls, but even I think as women, as moms, like when I read some of the things that you say or you've written, I'm like, oh my gosh, you've really honed in on that message that God has uniquely given you. And I think it's true of what you're doing right now. When you're talking out, one of the books you have out is a new devotional. It's talking about live on purpose, letting go of fear and following God. And when I was reading this, I was reading through some of the devotionals, and I was, in fact, my daughter tried to snag it and take back to college when she was home this week. And I'm like, you cannot have it till after I talk to Sadie. But she has a sign on her wall with a quote from you. And it says, anything you fear more than God has too much power in your life. Mm-hmm. And that has been on her wall for a couple of years. Wow. And she got that from one of your books. And that's powerful, because I think there's so much we all fear. And I would love for you just to speak into that a little bit, because there's obviously, as moms, we have fears, we fear for our kids. But I also think we don't always understand the fear that our kids are facing, particularly mm-hmm. our daughters. Sometimes I know with my daughter, when there's certain things that she was fearful of that she could articulate, sometimes I would almost be dismissive, not in an uncompassionate way, but I just can't relate to it. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to say, hey, it's not a big deal. This is not the thing to fear, but fear is real. And so I would just love if you would just take a minute, having watched my daughter work through your stuff and see that sign on her wall for the last year, I'd love for you to speak into that a little bit with fear and what that is for our daughters.
Yeah. I think one thing people who are struggling with fear, you know, need to be affirmed in is that you're not crazy for having that fear. Like, even if that fear seems so irrational to everyone else, that fear is very real to you. And fear is simply the belief that something can harm you. So it's real. It's like, something can hurt me. Something's going to hurt me. I fear this is going to, you know, ruin my life, or it's going to hurt me in some way. And so that's a very real thing, whether it's I fear that this girl is going to be mean to me, or I fear my life is about to fall apart. I fear I'm not going to have any money to do this. I fear I'm not going to get accepted into college. I fear that the plane's going to crash. Like, you know, anything that you fear that might be irrational seems very real. And so you're not crazy for having fear. It's not some crazy thing. I think the thing that you have to realize, though, is that no matter what you fear, it has to bow to Jesus. No matter what you fear, it has no reign when it comes to God's plan over your life. It can't prosper. You know, God's word prospers. God's plan prospers. Yes, actually something can harm you and something can hurt you. We live in a broken and a fallen world. However, in the midst of that brokenness, in the midst of that harm, God is still good. And the reality is that you actually, in the end, he can't lose because he holds victory. And so when you really think about it, it's like, even death, even if I fear death, and even if I die, God still wins because there's heaven. And so just like knowing that, you know, no matter what you fear actually has no authority when it comes to God's plan over your life. So really whatever you fear should never be greater than the fear that you have of the Lord, knowing that God is good, knowing that, you know, God is sovereign, knowing that God is over all, and he's with you, and you can hide under the shadow of his wing. And, you know, when you look at the Bible, God says, do not fear a lot of times, but you have to understand that God is so kind, because it's like he knew that the people were going to be afraid. So it's not that he's saying like, why are y'all afraid? He's like, hey, just don't fear, because I'm with you. You know, in Joshua, it's like when he came to Joshua and said, do not be afraid. It wasn't like, it was because Joshua had a lot of reasons to be afraid, you know, like
right.
Moses, went Gideon, all these people. Like, it's not that he's like thinking, why are you afraid? He's like, I can see why you're afraid, but you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. And so I think you have to understand that. I think God has compassion for our fear, and God's actually not saying you're crazy for your fear. He's actually just affirming you and why you don't have to be afraid. It's because he's with you, because he goes before you and he's behind you, and he is your strength in the midst of the battle, you know? And so I say this from a place of having to believe it myself. I say it from a place of battling fear daily and having to choose that faith over what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you found, I know that I've seen this in my life, that so many opportunities, and by opportunities, I mean like God opportunities, God ordained moments, are clothed in a skin of what would bring me fear. They are clothed in a place that I don't want to enter. And it's interesting, like you mentioned Joshua, but I've told my kids, it's like, if you go in the Bible and you see the places where they legitimately had reason to be fear, but then you know the full picture. That's the beauty of the Bible. We can see the beginning, middle, and end. And so you can borrow a little faith from those stories and say, listen, they would have missed this if they weren't willing to walk through that fearful situation. Like we know now how it plays out. And it's not always easy and seamless. And there's obstacles, there's places we wouldn't want to go. But in our own life, I think that's this whole concept of like borrowing forward and trusting God's plan and what he's going to do in the midst of those fearful moments. And I'm just curious, is there an example of where you can maybe share that with us? Something that maybe was a fear or an anxiety or something that you didn't want to enter into in your own life that now you can look back and say like, oh my gosh, the Lord totally used this to put me in a place.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing in my life is obviously speaking. That used to scare me so bad. I didn't want to, be a speaker. That's actually why I wrote my first book, is because I started getting asked places to speak. And I was like, I don't want to speak. So maybe if I write, no one will ask me to speak because they can just read what I want to say. Yeah. But that is kind of the irony, is once I started writing, then I started getting asked to speak places about what I wrote. So it's pretty ironic, but I used to be so scared of that. And honestly, if I would not have done it, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Think about all the places that I've spoken at that have gotten me to, where I'm at right now, would have never happened had I not said yes. And to be honest, that was a continual yes. That was not just a, okay, yes, one time. That's a everyday yes. Okay, God, like I am choosing to trust you. And a part of that, I think, is choosing to humble myself to exalt his name. Like, this is not about me. This is about you. And so I'll do something that makes me feel uncomfortable because I know it'll give you glory. And I think, with our generation, there's this whole thing. My new devotional is called Live on Purpose. And I think there's this whole thing in our generation. It's actually called purpose anxiety. It's where we're so anxious about what our purpose is that we're too afraid to even live it. And we're too afraid to even acknowledge what it is. We're like, what is our purpose? Do we even have a purpose? What could this be? And then we get so anxious about what our purpose is, we don't even think we have a purpose, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, as Christians and as believers, we have to know that our purpose should not be something that makes us afraid. Our purpose should be something that excites us. Our purpose should not be something that's some mystery that we had to go out and find. Our purpose is in our every single day, loving God and loving each other. And as believers, we have to choose to have faith over fear, because we have to go out and be the light that God's called us to be. We have to go love our neighbor. We have to go, take care of the poor. We have to go speak life into the dark places of the world. Like, we have to do that. And we're wasting our days being afraid. And we're wasting our days thinking that we're waiting to find something that's actually just right in front of you if you just wake up and say yes.
Yes. Yes. It's so good. And so your devotional is Live on Purpose. I'm going to read a little bit from it, but I love that one of the days of devotional, you're talking about when you were like 5 years old and you were standing on a coffee table and you had like a little song and dance, let's give it up for God. And your parents were like cheering you on. And you go on to say, I'm going to read a little bit out of this. It says, I believe that when we're five, our confidence and freedom come from the voices around us and our parents' protection over who's allowed to speak into our lives. We hear voices of encouragement and voices of truth, voices telling us we're enough, we are beautiful just as we are, and we're loved. There comes a point in your life when you have to begin to do this for yourself. Your parents protect you for as long as they can. At some point, you have to start protecting your own heart. Guard your own heart, your ears, your eyes, and don't allow the world to take away the things that make you who you really are. And I'm like, oh, holy cow, if that isn't a message for all of us. Hey guys, I'm Jeffin, and here to tell you about a book that goes perfectly with what Sadie's talking about today. And it's just working through all those emotions with our girls and those hard things we face, the fear, the anxiety. This book is called All the Feels for Teens. It's by Elizabeth Lang Thompson. And it's a great way to help our girls when they are dealing with the most turbulent of feelings. And it has quizzes to help them gain insight into how God wired them. It's got journals and prayer prompts, Bible verses for when they're feeling all the different emotions. And what's great about it is they can read alone, or they can do it with a mentor, a group of friends. But it's a great way for mothers and daughters to get a greater understanding of each other's feelings and build deeper connections. So check it out. It's called All the Feels for Teens, and you can get it in all the usual spots. Also, if you haven't already, be sure and check out Otter Be Joyful. It's a new book of the Otter Be series by Focus on the Family. It's cute animals with biblical lessons in every book, and it's preschool, young, elementary age children that will love learning about honesty, taking turns, being brave, and so much more from Otter Be and his friends. The stories are relatable and help kids express their emotions as they learn important character traits. And so this is the newest book in the series just released. It's about Christmas and where Otter Be learns about being joyful. And so now is a great time to get in front of it and go ahead and order your copy. And you can get all 7 books from Focus on the Family or wherever you get your books. And then as the holidays are starting to approach, I know for so many of us, it's super exciting and it's so fun. But I also know for so many of us, it can be a hard time as there's so many feelings, there's so many strains, anxieties that come along with Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so if you are looking to talk to someone and you want a licensed professional counselor, I suggest you check out faithfulcounseling.com. They're so great to always sponsor our podcast. We're so thankful for them. And what I love is that you can do all online counseling. If you're thinking about doing it, but you have some constraints with your time or being able to go somewhere, this is getting the counseling you need, doing it from the comfort of your home. And it's more affordable than traditional counseling, which is awesome. And so check out online their reviews. You can see what they offer, all the different ways that you can get in touch and talk with a counselor and get the help that you need, because it is always important to do those things that help us to be our best self. And so counseling is a way to get in front of the holidays and make sure that you're ready for what's coming. And so check them out at faithfulcounseling.com. And the great news is if you listen to Pardon Mess, which you do, then you can get 10% off your first month of counseling. And to do that, you go to faithfulcounseling.com/pardonthemess. Again, faithfulcounseling.com/pardonthemess. So when we talk purpose, tell me some ways that your parents encouraged you to follow after your purpose. Because I know as Christian parents listening to this, we want our kids to go. I always say to my kids, chase the God dreams, like chase after the God-sized things. Mm-hmm. How did your parents, if you remember practically, how did they do that in your life?
Yeah, I think a big thing is that they really trusted what God was doing, even whenever they didn't know how to trust me. And I say that because they're looking at me and I'm a 16-year-old girl. I'm a 17-year-old girl. And here I am like getting asked to do these really big things. And honestly, I was kind of afraid to do them, like Dancing with the Stars or like moving to Nashville and all these different things. And my parents, I remember my mom was really afraid of me going to Dancing with the Stars, which I've never seen her afraid. She's always really confident. And she called a mentor and the mentor told her, Sadie, she said, Corey, this is not Sadie going out to Dance with the Stars. This is God within her going out on Dance with the Stars and the light of Jesus is going to shine through her. And she chose to have confidence in what God was going to do over what my own ability was going to be able to do. And then I got to live out, you know, part of my purpose being there. Now, is my purpose going to Dance with the Stars? No, but it was a part of it. You know, is your purpose going to the, you know, LSU? No, but it's a part of it. You know, is your purpose, you know, going to get your, I don't know, whatever title you've been searching for? No, but it can be a part of it. I think that's the thing. People think that your purpose is like in a destination. It's in an achievement. It's in an accomplishment, but it's not. It's in the journey to those things as well. And so, yes, they were with me for the journey. I remember one time whenever I decided to move to Nashville and I came to my parents, I said, I want to move to Nashville. And truthfully, I really felt just a stirring to say yes to what God was, you know, starting to do in me. Like, honestly, yeah. I got asked to do Winter Jam and I was kind of nervous, but I just kind of felt a stirring to say yes to what that was. And so, and part of that was going to be moving to Nashville. Well, at the same time on the side, I had some other things that I was wanting to do in Louisiana. And I came to my parents, I said, look, I know I've been saying I want to do these things, but now I kind of just feel like I need to go to Nashville. But I didn't tell them that I felt like it was because God was kind of speaking that to me. I just said, I feel like I should go. And then my dad was like, really? He was like, why? He was like, are you just going to leave behind everything that you've been saying because a bigger, better opportunity has come? And I was so mad at him for saying that. I was like, no, that's not why. This is not because it's bigger and better. This scares me. I'm just like, I just feel like I should do it. And he was like, why? And finally I was like, well, I didn't want to say this, but I just feel like God's like telling me to, like, I feel just like very called to do this. And my dad was like, okay, that's your answer. And he was like, if you're not confident to give me an answer in our own house, that God is the one that's telling you to do what you do, then you'll never be able to be confident enough to tell that answer to the world. And it was just such a good moment for me to realize that, like, if I cannot claim Jesus and God in my own house to my own parents and say, he's the reason why I do the things I'm doing. I will never claim Jesus and God as the reason I'm doing what I'm doing to the world who I know is not going to appreciate that answer. So I'm so glad my dad challenged me in that. And now I can't not say that it was Jesus. I can't not say that it was God that's done the things that he's done in my life, because I literally could not take the credit for what God has done. And I hope people live their own life like that. Live in such a way and say yes in such a way that you could not tell your story without telling the Jesus side of it.
Yes. Yes. And I love how you're speaking into the kind of as you go moments in life, not the when I arrive, but as you go. And I think as adults, as moms, maybe as people that have lived a little life, you realize looking back, like all the things were going to be the big moments, those big opportunities, they were actually not, some of the small things were bigger. The small things, those incidental moments that didn't seem like much ended up being the big things for the kingdom 100%. Of God. Which is how he works, right? He's so upside down kingdom. He didn't have a big platform. He had some disciples. And so I think it's so interesting as parents too, to be like what your parents are talking about, being willing to look for God in it. What's he going to do? I look at, you know, my own life and my parents, you know, I went to law school, that looked right, but that's not what God had for me long-term, but he used that moment to teach me other things going forward and just being okay with that in your kids and letting them learn along the way, let God work along the way. And you said something in the last time we talked in the podcast that I've quoted so many times, and it might be some of the best parenting advice I've ever gotten. And it was from your mom to you, but I said to you, what's something that your mom really did right? Like if you're going to raise a girl that loves the Lord and speaks truth, like Sadie Robertson does, what did your mom get right? You said she always met me with Jesus. And that stuck with me ever since, because I want to meet my kids with my truth or with justice or with me standing up for them or with whatever the things are I want to meet them with, but meeting them with Jesus. And so could you just encourage some mom listening to that, that hears that's like, I believe in that, but what did that look like on any given day after school?
Yeah. I think, you know, meeting someone with Jesus is just really rising above what your flesh will tell you to do. I think a lot of times, you know, and even my great grandma did this so well. This is actually the best piece of advice I've ever been given. And this is kind of the backstory of the podcast, but I came home one day to my great grandma's house and I was so mad because this girl was so rude to me and she said something horrible. And I was like, what am I going to do about this? And I remember I was telling my grandma and I was like, what should I do? What should I say? And I was just like trying to think of like the best comeback. And my great grandma said, Sadie, you are not kind because other people are kind to you. You are kind because you are a kind person. And it just like totally convicted me, because I was like, wow, like that's not like, I'm not kind just when other people are kind. I'm not, you know, loving just when other people are loving. I'm not, you know, joyful just when it's a time to be joyful. I'm kind and I'm loving and I'm joyful because that is who I am. And that's actually not always who I am, but that's who Jesus is within me. And I think, you know, that's what my great grandma did. That's what my grandma did for my mom. That's what my mom does for me. It's like, hey, that's not how you're going to respond to that situation. Not because that's not how you might should respond. Not because that's not what might even feel right to respond. You're not going to respond like that because that's not who is living inside of you. And that doesn't reflect what you really believe. And, you know, my husband and I have conversations like this all the time, because there will be something that, you know, I want to say, or I want to do, and, you know, it's not right. And then he'll help me. And there's times that I'll help him. And there's something the other day, whenever I said I wanted to do something and it was kind of rising above a scenario. And he said, why would you do that? Why would you want to do that? Like you have every right to just not do that. And I was like, no, I don't, because I love Jesus. And so if I love Jesus, then I need to love people the way I love Jesus. And so many times, you know, we can justify our actions and other people will even justify them for you. But I think whenever you choose to rise above and say like, no, I can't do that because that's not what Jesus would do. And I love Jesus too much to not respect him in this way and love him while I love other people in this way. And so I think that's what it kind of looks like every day, to be met by Jesus.
That's so good. That's so good. Okay. So as we're starting to wrap up, I want to go back and back to what I read in your journal for a second, in this new devotional. It's so good. It's not your journal. It's a devotional. Sorry, y'all. I'm not reading Sadie's journal. By the way, last time I talked to you, I literally said, now, when are you getting married? Not even thinking out the fact we probably weren't publicizing the date. My daughter like kicked me. She was like, what the heck? You can't ask her when the wedding date is. We still laugh about that. But okay.
That's
so
funny.
Here's my question. Going back to what I read earlier from your devotional. And I love that talks about protecting the voices that speak into you. And so as the first generation of parents raising kids in social media, and you're getting ready to do that as well. In fact, Sadie, I'm sure she already has her own legit honey site, right? She's already on, she's already up there and running. This girl's ready to roll, sweet honey. So what's your advice? How do you speak into this with social media when we're trying to protect the voices that our kids have feeding into them? At some point we can't, we all know that we can't. And then there's social media. And I know you have to fight the social media battle or not fight it every day. That's a choice you have to make. What's just your best word on how to handle this with our kids well?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's a huge challenge because I was just talking to someone about this earlier that, you know, with social media, before social media, you know, as a kid, you were raised and you were taught by the people around you. And a lot of times that was good influences because those people who loved you wanted what's best for your life. And now we're taught and we're led by whoever and whatever we see online. And it's not just like, you know, how it used to be like a magazine. You walk by and you see a magazine, you kind of, you know, can look at that and learn from it in a sense. No. It's every single day in your face, seeing people's life, thinking that you know them, learning from them. They're your mentor. They're your influencer, all these things. And so I actually just wrote a book that'll be out next year called Who Are You Following? And it's about that simple thing of like, yes, you can follow all of these people, but unless you're following Jesus first, you are going to be led to places you do not want to go. You're going to become someone you do not want to become. And so if you're following Jesus, it's the only thing that's really going to get you where you're wanting to go and who you need to be following. So I always tell people, if you're following me, I just want to let you know I'm leading you to Jesus, because just a following of me is not going to do you much good, because I'm a human. I fail. Like today is a great, tomorrow might not be, but with God, he's everlasting. He's always good. He's always kind. He's going from glory to glory to glory. And so like, don't follow just people, like follow Jesus. And I think for Honey, yes, it scares me for her to be on social media one day. And I do manage her account now just because I do, like Christian and I feel very called to be a family, a godly family, and an example of a godly family. And I think, you know, if TV is not going to put it out there, then we can do our job on social media to put it out there. And so I do want us to be a good example. And part of me is wanting to teach Honey, like, you don't just stray away from these things, but you do be a light in them. You don't go do what everybody else is doing. You're going to be the light of the world. And so I want to teach Honey how to do things well like that. And of course I'm going to have to create boundaries. I'm going to have to do it well. And part of me never wants her to have a phone until she's like 16 or leaves the house. But another part of me is like, but I do want you to be a good example, because that's what you're called to be. And so, you know, we'll see as the years come, but as for now, we do feel very called to be a godly example of a family and as parents, and even for her as a kid, for Christ. And yeah, she's not going to be perfect and we're not either. And I think that's part of it too, is showing people how Jesus meets you in your imperfections and even your sins and your struggles.
Well, I cannot wait for the new book that's coming out next year, because I think that's a word we all need, our kids need. And I think you are so perfect to speak into it, because we're looking for some answers on social media. And like you're saying, let's not stray away from it. Let's lean into it. And I'm just so glad that the Lord has elevated you in that platform, because I've seen it in my own home of my daughter leaning into biblical truth through you. And, you know, we always say, like, whatever it is that you're following, line it up with biblical truth and see, and you line up perfectly. And I'm just so grateful for that. And so if you guys are not following Sadie Robertson Huff yourself, you need to be. You definitely need your teens following her. But this new devotional, which is going straight to my daughter, when we're done with this, I will mail it to her. It's called Live on Purpose, 100 Devotions for Letting Go of Fear and Following God. And we will put it in podcast notes, and it's available in all the usual spots. And Sadie, we want to talk to you when the new book comes out. Can we see you again?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. It's good to see you again. Tell your family hello.
Yes, good to see you. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Hey,
And a huge thank you to Sadie Robertson Huff for being with us today. You guys, be sure and follow her on social. She really has a great way of using social to promote the Lord, but also all the things she's doing. And I love that that's their approach, she and Christian, that they want to be faithful online stewards of their time, their resources, and point people to God. And so be sure and check it out. I love her sweet little baby. And they even do some mom and dad dances, like parent dancing, little routine things, which is hilarious. And let me assure you, their dancing is better than most of ours. Maybe you're a great dancer, but I'm just saying. And so thanks to Sadie Robertson for being here. And for today's Messy Minute, I want to talk about something Sadie Robertson have said, and that is the whole idea of believing forward in what God's doing. And I found that as a parent, and actually even spoke about this recently, that it's so important that we can believe forward in what God's doing when we can't see it in the moment. And it always reminds me kind of a story I'm not going to retell, but I've told so many times about when my son was going through some different testing. We were trying to figure out maybe some learning differences. And I remember in that moment just feeling like he was like broken. Like I was going through this place of like, wait, this is not how I envisioned it. This is not what I thought God was going to do. And now how I'm on the other side of this, able to see how through this, God was so gracious to break him, not of the things I was worried about, but he broke him of self-sufficiency and broke him of pride and broke him of all these things he didn't want from him. And instead replaced that with a kid that's a hard worker, because he's always had to work hard in school. He's a hard worker. He's compassionate. He has empathy, right? And so just learning to believe forward that in the moment when things are hard, where you don't see where God is going, where you don't know why he isn't instantly fixing something or making it better in our parenting, in our marriages, in whatever it is you're facing, believe forward in what God's going to do. And we hopefully will see it this side of heaven, and sometimes we will not, but we can trust him. And so go back to scripture, find the places in the Bible, those characters in the Bible where you look at their lives and in the moment, you know, they had no idea what God was doing, but we see the big picture and know that God was working all things, like it says in his word, all things for our good and his glory. And we can see it in scripture. We can see it in the stories of the Old Testament. We can believe it in our own lives. And so my hope would be that we start praying that we can believe forward in those places that are confusing right now and don't make sense, but we know that God has a plan and we can trust his character because he's good. He loves us and he's for us. We know your days are busy. So as always, thank you for joining us as we part in the mess. Thank you.